Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So, Jake, powering through. Hey, this episode is brought to you by Squarespace, squarespace.com. What is Squarespace, Jake? Oh my god, this sucks. Sorry, no, we don't need him. So, what is Squarespace? Good question, Jake. Squarespace allows you to build websites without knowing much about the internet. How great is that? You no longer have to be smart at things to do them. God, what a future we live in. Imagine if your grandparents were trying to build websites in the 50s. They wouldn't know the first thing. Luckily, society and technology has advanced to such a point that you don't have to know much in order to build your own website, blog, portfolio, resume. If you've been sitting on an idea because you're too dumb to actually execute it, Squarespace.com will allow you to do so. Not only that, but it's very cheap, it's very affordable, and if you use our coupon code, ADVICE, that's right, as in ADVICE podcast, they'll throw in an extra 10% off the already low price. In addition to that, just to sweeten the deal, if you use our coupon code, once again, ADVICE, to create your Squarespace site, then and forward us the URL, I will pimp it out on our podcast. I will link to it on our website. Don't believe me? Ask JackSinclairUK.com. Ask Lathon.net. Ask ICan'tRememberLastNight.com. And ask KatieHoliday.com. They used our coupon code last time, and there it is. The pimping out they could have only imagined has come to fruition. To life. L'chaim. So let's get into this episode. Oh, sorry, I forgot to mention, you have to go to squarespace.com/ifiwereyou and then use the coupon code ADVICE to get the 10% off. Also, they throw in domain names, so like you don't even have to know how to purchase a domain name. It's really simple and it's really fun and it's really affordable. So yes, check it out. Okay, this episode, we finally got Dave Rosenberg on the show. It's been a long time coming, but we finally were able to haggle a price with him. 4 slices of old pizza, and we were able to get him on the show. So, enough from me. It's getting a little weird. It's getting a little sad. Luckily, Jake was actually part of the episode. He just couldn't record this ad. No pressure, no problem. Things still got real, I assure you. So, let's get started. Later.
When you're feeling blue, don't know what to do, you should listen to If I Were You.
Yeah.
All right.
Short.
Sweet.
Well, I wouldn't say sweet.
Okay.
Short.
Because you're negative.
It was short and sweet. It was like there's a commercial for our podcast, that would be like the jingle at the end.
That's nice.
When you're feeling blue, don't know what
that's
to
nice
do.
That's nice and that's enough. That was short and bad.
We finally have Dave Rosenberg on the show. Dave, how are you?
Howdy.
Great. He's killing it already.
To be perfectly honest, though, I think I'm going to have to run both your necks for actually letting me on this podcast.
What?
It's a poor decision.
Why?
For both of you.
What are you talking about?
The stuff that I say sometimes is racist, homophobic. You're going to lose a lot of sponsors on this, son of a bitch. A lot of sponsors.
You already have such a bad attitude. We haven't even started.
Wow, and you started that sentence with howdy. With such a positive colloquial greeting, followed by vitriol.
Dave's influence runs deep throughout the podcast, though we've never had him on the show. You steal a lot of your colloquialisms, Jake.
I give him credit. I don't want to be put on blast for stealing from Dave when I give him credit. Dave came up with blast.
Yeah, that was
or
a
at
good
least
one.
Popularized it in my life.
Right. I don't know about coming up with it. Yeah, no. As far as you're concerned, he came up with it.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I mean, probably. I part of me feels like the voice that I talk in on the podcast sometimes is a voice that I did with Dave when we were living together.
Dave's like the man behind the man. He's the guy behind the curtain.
Yes.
And we're excited to finally have him on the show. Are you excited to be here?
Howdy.
He's drunk. Howdy. Here's a question for you. You wear a hat every day.
I do.
Why?
You
have good hair.
I do have good hair.
So why do you hide it? Do you think that's like part of your haircut? Like my haircut is the length of my hair that comes out of my hat?
To a degree. When my hair is short, I won't wear a hat. But it's sort of...
But every single day.
Yeah. You know, you're putting me on a blast right now.
Already?
I'll be honest.
It's not a blast. I'm just inquiring.
Question. You're taking it as a blast.
Yeah.
I'm taking it as a blast. I like this hat.
Do you feel is it like a security thing? Is it like me with glasses? Like I feel naked without glasses.
I do.
You feel naked without a hat.
I feel cold without a hat.
Oh,
I guess I need to sort of get over the hat phase pretty soon.
In the summer, though, you're gonna still wear a hat every day.
The summer seems like the optimal time to actually wear the hat.
Right, because then it's effective. You're keeping the shade. Keeping the sun out of your eyes.
Do you remember the last day you didn't wear a hat? That's my last hat question. I promise. 2000 days ago,
2000.
Exactly.
The year 2000.
Y2K. So you've heard the show before, right?
Couple episodes.
Okay. You're playing it so cool. Who are you trying to impress?
Chill Dave. Chill Dave.
You know how it works. You know, people are finding themselves in difficult places, and they'll email us to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. We read the emails and do our best to advise them out of their sticky situations. Did I say the email address?
I don't think so. Maybe.
I think I did. But I'll say it again just in case. ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Oh, people also submit theme songs, new theme songs for every single episode. And the one that started this episode, the one that was short and sweet and jingle-like, was a married couple.
Very nice.
Steve and Malika Bush. You know, I'm glad she took his last name. I'm really glad she did that. She
Are you sure her
courage.
Name wasn't Malika Bush to begin with?
Oh, he took her last name.
Yeah, Steve. Yeah.
Steve took Malika's.
Yeah.
So thanks to Steve and Malika for that. Should we just dive right in?
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm so excited right now.
This is the episode you've been waiting for.
It really is. I think this is going to be the quietest I've ever been on an episode. Because I basically want it to be you and Dave.
Well, you just want to live in Dave's brain for like an hour.
Yeah, oh my God. I'm so curious.
Okay, well, let's at least throw some stuff at him and see what comes out of his brain hole.
All right, let's do it.
All right, here we go. Oh,
like first of all, I want to know what he was thinking when he decided to wear this white polo T-shirt.
You only wear white after Labor Day. It's a new rule.
Isn't it always after Labor Day? It's always after the last Labor Day.
Yeah, so I'm right.
So you can wear white whenever you want.
That's true.
All right.
We agree.
Very good then.
There we are.
Dave, do you have a name theme for us? Every episode we give these real emails from real people fake names to preserve their anonymity. But we usually like to keep it within the same theme. Do you have a theme for us today?
True detective characters, but I don't know enough true detective characters.
But that's good. We can at least start
out.
Yeah, at the very least, we can use real names and then the actors' names.
I got it. I can do this.
Okay, so the first one comes from a dude named
Fuck. I don't know.
already,
Russ Cole.
Russ Cole writes, "Hey guys, love the show. Keep it up. Here's my problem. I've been dating this girl who has very strict parents. She has a 10 p.m. curfew. She has to first clear it with her folks whether or not she can go out with me. I can't touch her in front of her parents. Once, when we were out of town together, she had to send her mom photos of her outfit for approval before she set foot out of the house. Lastly, I spend more time with her and her parents than I do just spending time with her alone. She loves and respects her parents a little too much for me to tell them to back off a little. Here's the kicker. She's 25 years old, and so am I. She can't move out until she's married. I really love this girl, and I'm thinking about marrying her one day, but we haven't even dated for a year yet. What would you guys do if you were me? Love, Russ Cole.
Rust.
Rust Cole. That's Dave? A good question.
Dave?
Right off the bat.
What do you think?
Just kill the parents.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
Howdy.
Dark. Have you ever had a strict lady parents? Strict future parents-in-laws?
I really don't like meeting people's parents, so I kind of avoid that whole thing altogether.
Have you ever met your girlfriend's parents?
Yeah. I've never had them been, like, strict, though. That seems super strict.
Are you good with parents, girlfriend's parents?
I think everyone thinks they're good with parents, but most people aren't.
Really?
I can't imagine I am. I'm not good with anyone, so why would I be good with parents?
I think I think you're great with people. You have this, you can tap into your brain, and you are capable of having, like, the most boring small talk. Like, very, like, every time I've ever seen him at a bar talking to someone, he is just like, you're going a mile a minute, you're smiling, you're laughing, you have this ability to convince people you're normal in small bursts.
So, like, don't get me wrong, you're abnormal, but no, you have the ability to convince, like a serial killer, you're able to put people's guards down for long enough to infiltrate before you show off your true colors, which is a sociopath.
Not a sociopath, but some type of deranged
lunatic of sorts.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Are you good with parents, Jake?
I'm incredible with parents.
Yeah, because you're polite.
Yep.
You're funny. You're normal.
Yeah.
I think that's the big one, is just being normal.
Yeah, being normal. And, well, not that this guy's asking for advice about how to be good with parents, but, like, the biggest thing, all the parents want is for their kid to be happy and loved. So you just show them that you love their kid.
Sure.
And, like, hey, I really love her. I think she's really important. I know you think she's as special as I do. And then they're like, oh, you're good to go.
Yeah. Okay. So,
here's what I think what this guy needs to do, short of killing them, you have to plant seeds. So you have to be like
seeds of doubt.
Yeah,
that'll grow into trees of misery.
Yes. So when you're with your girlfriend and her parents are being overbearing, you're like, "Oh man, I kind of wish I could spend some alone time with just me and you." It sounds positive. And then she sort of realizes, "Oh yeah, I wish that too, and my parents prevent me from doing it."
Oh.
And then Dave, you're shaking your head. Yeah. You don't think so?
I think you go that exact opposite route and you become super overprotective of her in front of her parents to freak the parents out.
Oh, I see. You're giving the opposite advice.
A month later, or two maybe, you're like, you go up to the parents and you'll be like, this is how you're treating your daughter.
Yeah. Like a fucking
mind fuck.
Like it was all a fucking show.
A ruse.
You turned the mirror on them, yep. Didn't you?
Chris Angel style.
So you treat her like garbage for a month, maybe two.
No, not garbage. You're just like
overbearing. Yep. Yeah. And then when she starts to complain about it, you hold a mirror up to herself and be like, you know what? That's what your parents are acting like. Or you want to wait until the parents complain and be like, you know what? That's what you've been acting like.
Wow. You call a whole family conference.
A full family blast. An intervention of sorts.
All right, take it or leave it. That's my advice. That's Dave's.
Have you ever had strict parents-in-laws or girlfriend's parents? Most of them have been cool, right?
Yeah, I think they've always been cool. I feel like my problem is that, like, sometimes I'm with someone who really likes their family and I really like my family, so it's like tough to balance like whose family we spend time with.
Yeah.
But I mean it's always been fine. I've never had a problem really.
It is a hard thing because when you love someone, you don't want to get rid of them just based on their parents, but like parents can be difficult. Like that's like a difficult curveball that you can't choose at all.
I guess that's true.
I guess family, your girlfriend's family can be difficult. I feel like in my situation, my family is always the more difficult one.
Oh, that makes sense.
Like, my parents are more intense than any of my girlfriend's parents have ever been.
Right, they're scary.
Yeah. But, not, I mean, like, I'm not scared
for me.
Of them.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I guess, yeah, it's tough. But also, like, this kid is in, like,
the honeymoon stages of his girlfriend. He hasn't been dating her for a year yet.
Yeah.
So he probably, I bet there's some level of like, I want a lot of time with this girl, and he can't have it right now. But like maybe give it some time and everybody's going to like ease into it.
Although she's 25 and has to text pictures of her outfit to her mom for approval.
Insane. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's not all right. I think he can have an open conversation with her about that. Like some stuff is a little bit too extreme. Maybe the most extreme stuff. This is what I would do. I would choose the most extreme stuff and start with those things first. Be like, maybe you shouldn't send out pictures of your outfit to your parents.
Pick the things that you can comment on, and that'll like sort of that plants the seed in her too.
Yeah,
where she's like, I wonder if that follows the rule all the way down to this thing. Yeah.
I wonder what the living at home thing is. You think she can't move out until she's married?
That seems weird because she should, even if they're strict, she should be allowed to like live on her own or with other girls or, you know, people she's not sleeping with or something.
You know what? I don't know anything about religion or anything like that, but I'm going to go ahead and guess this person's Mormon. Without knowing much about Mormonism, I'm going to say this person is probably Mormon.
Really?
Keep in mind, this is a complete shot in the dark. I cannot stress enough, I don't know the rules of Mormonism. I don't know how it affects people, why they act, but I can say with almost 100% certainty that I think this person, this is a Mormon of her. She's become Mormon.
Jesus, she's a Latter-day Saint.
I would completely agree with you, Amir.
What? That she's a Mormon?
Yep.
Oh, well, there we have it. Two Mormons against one.
A Latter-day Saint, and I am a fatter gay taint.
Perfect timing.
Thank you.
Jeff just entered with our drinks.
You make him sound like a
our libations.
Waitress.
I'm just glad he came in right at I'm a fatter gay taint.
Gracias, hermano. Mi hermano.
All right, should we go on to the next question, or is there anything you want to delve deeper into?
Let's go on to the next question. But first, gentlemen, cheers to our triumphant return to the New York City.
The big grapple.
To having 2 days and two twins on our podcast. It's an honor, a privilege, and frankly, it's a dream come true. I love you both.
I'm in between Rose and Rosie, and now Dave. This is our third Rose, basically, in two episodes.
Insane.
That's who would have...
A trifecta?
Never.
So perfect, it hurts the heart.
A tradition unlike any other. It's the masters of podcasts. All right, next question.
Let's do it.
Gosh, let me see if...
Thanks for the libations, Jeff. I'm ready to imbibe.
You guys are smart. I don't know any of these words.
You're kind of, you feel, do you ever listen to the Ricky Gervais podcast?
No. Who's that?
You're kind of like our Carl Pilkington, like the guy they have around just because his opinions are so unique and different.
We should do God, I would love if they was always on the podcast.
All right.
I need to get paid for that.
Do you have a female character?
Maggie.
Maggie. All right. Maggie writes, Hey guys, I've been in a serious relationship with my amazing boyfriend for 9 months now. Everything was great, except for one little secret that I had kept to myself for a few weeks, and I would love to hear your guys' opinion. Before we were dating, I was dating somebody else. During that relationship, we have had kind of a wet snuggle with another guy friend, and since then, the relationship between me and that guy friend have been awkward yet playful, but only in a verbal kind of way. Just a few weeks ago, I was online chatting with this guy friend again, and somehow we both agree that we missed that night of spontaneous wet snuggling, and I half-jokingly promised him we would fuck for real if we both got out of our current relationships. Is this cheating? Well, to be fair, I have cheated on my ex with that guy already, if wet snuggles count as cheating. And to be honest, I'm very curious what sex would be like with that guy, and I'm pretty sure he feels the same way. Am I a terrible girlfriend for promising casual sex with another dude while in a serious relationship? Thanks, Maggie.
Thanks, Maggie.
Thank you, Maggie. Thank you.
Thanks for writing in at all.
First and foremost.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
What's a wet snuggle?
Oh, that's a good question.
A wet snuggle, I guess to me, I imagined it sort of like spooning while you're kissing the person's neck and maybe you're like feeling her pussy or something. Maybe you're like making out. It's like lazy, sleepy, snuggly where you're exploring each other's bodies but not having sex.
What's the wetness? What's the moisture?
I think wet pussy, pre-cum, and exchanging saliva.
Oh, but not jizzing.
Maybe that's part of the wetness too. maybe you're like humping your butt crack or something.
Oh yeah. Okay. So
I was gonna say mom turned down the podcast, but fuck it. You know what? Let's save that for some real shit, mama.
She is your number one B.
My number one who?
B. I feel bad calling your mom a B.
Oh, what?
My you say B? She's like your number one B.
My mom's my number one B?
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
Like, don't trust the B, like that B word?
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about. The word B-I-T.
B-I.
Do you not get it still, or are you doing a bit?
What are you talking about?
You don't get it?
What bit?
Well, Dave, do you know what I'm talking about?
B-I-T, a bit.
A bit?
No.
A
bitch. A bitch.
Thank you. I just wanted you to say it, motherfucking yes.
No. I've called your mother that.
I was a little confused.
Mama, turn up the podcast. We got him dead to rights. This fucking Jew called you a bitch. Why? This is the whole thing is a setup. We're not even recording a podcast.
So does that answer your question about wet snuggles, first and foremost?
Okay, so basically not sex, but physical snugglage.
Yeah, I call it like bed grinding.
The question is, one, is it cheating to promise sex to a guy if and when you leave a relationship? And two, does it make her a terrible girlfriend?
She also asked if wet snuggling counted as cheating for when she cheated on her ex by doing the wet snuggle.
Oh, well, I think that's a different... I say yes, any physical affection is cheating. Let's go on to the second question. Dave, let's say you have a girlfriend.
Yep.
She promises she promises another guy sex. Would you say she's cheated on you?
My take on all relationships is sort of ignorance is bliss. You know, I don't want to know anything. Don't tell me anything. And, you know, do what you got to do. You know?
So your take is they can even cheat on someone as long as you don't know about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't know about it to begin with, so there's nothing happening.
Wow. You are liberal, dude.
No, I'm not. I'm the opposite of liberal. I'm so conservative that if I ever found out anything, I would just go crazy. So I've become liberal because I hate being the jealous type, but I know I am, and I can't change that, so it's better for me just not to know.
Wow. All of your opinions are so different that I don't even know when to start, where to start.
Right.
It's like your rule base is so liberal, like, hey, if I don't find out, it's not a problem. It's so liberal. But your reaction to finding out would be very conservative, anger, screaming, yelling, jealous, hate.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
And intense hate.
But that's sort of how you are with board games too. Like, oh, if it's I'm not cheating if I don't get caught, right?
That's more Jeff than me. I love cheating in board games.
Jeff cheats all the time in board games. I caught you cheating one time, and we were playing the game of life.
The actual game or just living?
Just straight up living. No, we were playing like the actual life game, right? We were playing that, or Monopoly or something. And I like caught him cheating. I was like, you're cheating. And he goes, I cheat to win.
Yeah, no, that's why everyone cheats. Everyone cheats to win. There's no other reason to
justify the means.
I cheat just for the... You're not the joker. You just cheat for the thrill of it. So I cheat to lose.
You're saying this girl hasn't done anything wrong because her boyfriend doesn't know she's talking to
him. I'm saying she won't have done anything wrong if she doesn't tell anyone anything, including this podcast. So in this case, you are wrong.
Too late. So the cheating is writing in, not actually doing this thing.
Promising sex is, it's beyond flirty, but I don't think it's cheating. I think it's fucked up.
Yeah, so the question, so it's not cheating, but you are a bad girlfriend for doing it.
Well, yeah, think about everything you're doing out in the open, and if your boyfriend found out, you'd be mortified and he'd be hurt. So what you're doing is fucked up. It is. Right.
Basically, I always act as though my significant other is a foot away from me. Always. So I'm like scared to flirt. I'm scared to talk. I'm scared to look up girlfriends on Twitter or Facebook.
Because you say, I don't want to subject my significant other who is a foot away from me to this stench.
No, I fart in front of my girlfriends, when I do have girlfriends, that is.
Right now, you fart in front of...
That might actually also be a part of the wet snuggle.
The what? The moisture of the fart?
Yeah.
But that, yeah, the, when I'm in a relationship, that's how I like treat my life. I feel like as though there's this ghost of a lady here always staring at me, judging me. So it's like, it's kind of admirable because it's like I'm not doing anything wrong. But then it's like I have to sort of, I'm only doing it because I don't want to, quote, get in trouble or get caught.
Which brings me to the second point, like part of my statement. It is fucked up, but at the same time, you're not, like, everybody's fucked up a little bit. People do fucked up shit all the time. Uh-huh. And you're not, she's not cheating, which is the most fucked up thing.
Yeah, she's not, she's actually like, snuggling wet.
Yeah, she has some, this kind of like, it's a cheap thrill, but it's not actually doing any damage. It would just hurt someone's feelings.
Yeah.
So I think you've done like the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, the emotional cheat, not the physical cheat.
But it's not even an emotional cheat to, I guess it is.
It's a little
everybody
bit.
Has fucking fantasies.
Yeah, but this girl actually told a guy, that's like starting to like creep into the reality.
Yeah, I will, if I'm single, I'll do it. But I mean, if you want to do it, just get single and then do it.
Yeah, it seems like that's the first step towards breaking up. Is right. Like, oh, if I were single, I'd fuck you. Oh, me too. Or then that's like, okay, that's the terror.
So we promise each other to get single and fuck?
So all I have to do is get single and then I know I can fuck you?
That is the, isn't that the best part about getting out of a relationship, though? Like cashing in on all that like flirting that you've done?
Oh, like all this, the subtextual flirting. They're like, yeah. Oh, I can't ever do this because blah, blah, blah. Now it's like, okay, I'm liberated. I'm a free agent.
Right. Hey, remember? Yeah, yes. No. Oh, God. Woo.
That's the honeymoon phase of being broken up.
Yeah.
Like the first X amount of weeks, months, whatever, feels great. And then you start settling into the reality once you've exhausted all those resources and you look around and everyone's just empty and cold. And you're like, oh, no.
I feel like that's where you are right now. You're so acutely aware of that emotion.
No, I'm a totally different person. I don't have emotions. What about you, Dave? Ever broken up with a girl?
Yes and no. More no. I always get broken up with. I ride that shit out till it ends.
Yeah.
I'll never end anything. I just become such a bad person that I force the girl to end it.
Oh, you're one of those guys.
Yeah, which like, I don't love about myself.
Yeah, I don't
think
so.
But I also don't hate about myself.
But that's one of the, that's like one of the things people learn as they grow older is that when you're young, you're like, oh, I don't want to break up. I'll just be bad, distant, uninterested until the other person breaks up with me. That way I don't have to actually go through it. And then after you've done that maybe once or twice, you realize, oh, it's easier just to have one terrible conversation and not have to be in this relationship for an extra year.
Yeah, maybe. Sounds like good advice.
But the problem is, I think like you don't have a lot of time to like dabble with being in a relationship. Like if you start at age 18 and you want to get married by, you know, 28 to 33, you only have so many years of being an expert before you get tied down. And some people even just like settle down much earlier than that.
To be perfectly honest, the advancements in technology and science over the next 10 or 20 years means we're all going to live for a very long time. So.
How long? What's your theory on that? How old?
Probably 150, maybe 200.
You think the first person who's going to be 200 is already born?
Oh, yeah, I do. I watch TED Talks.
250? This actually brings us to our break. Are we finish this, guys?
Yeah, it's fucked up, but you haven't cheated, but don't follow through because then that's cheating. So,
yeah. Okay, don't. Cool. Right. Let's get to the break where we just talk about Dave.
Great. This is all I've been waiting for. I don't even have to answer another question.
What's like a good, you said you listen to TED Talks. That reminds me of, I think once I saw you audio recording all hands meeting at College Humor.
Yeah.
So that you can, so can you explain what that is?
That's just me not remembering anything anyone ever says.
So what do?
Listen to it like 5 or 6 times.
So you record meetings?
Really let it sink in.
You record every meeting?
Yeah, I do.
You record every meeting that you have and then you listen to it later like a podcast?
I record 12 hours of every day and then I listen to it for the reverse 12 hours. So it's almost like I'm constantly living
in the past.
The same day. Twice. It's like if you were to watch the first half of Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Twice in a row.
Yeah. You also strike me as someone that like listens to a lot of podcasts at like 2x speed.
1.5. I'm not at the 2x level yet.
But you like to cram in a lot of life in your life.
I've written into iTunes to ask them to crank it up to 3x in the future. But at that point, it's just gibberish.
There's no limit to how much data I can stuff in my brain at every minute.
I am curious why they even have that feature.
What? Which one?
They have the 1.5 and then they have the 2x speed for, like, are people using that? What's the
probably, right?
It just seems like you lose, like, all tonality. And or is it just like, I feel like if you're listening to, like, a business podcast or, like, I don't know, the economy or something, but it seems like that feature, who's using that feature?
People who are in a rush.
I've watched one movie at 1.5 speed.
Full movie?
Yeah.
Why?
It was...
The Star Wars trilogy.
No, my junior year of college, I did mushrooms, and we watched Tenacious D, Pick a Destiny, all the way through, like on a PlayStation 3. And then once the movie was over, we're like, what do we do now? And someone accidentally, like, hit the remote, and it pushed it to, like, 1.5 speed, and we watched the whole movie again in, like, an hour. And it was actually better. It really was.
Any other funny Dave anecdotes that can come to mind or questions?
The one that I was thinking of when you were talking about Dave, well, the, what was it, his last opinion on the TED Talks thing? Oh, the people living to be 200?
Yeah.
Mm. When we were in Ann Arbor, remember that? Yeah, I'm a little groggy because we, like, drank a lot of vodka and then we smoked, like, a joint to our face. But we were sitting in this, it was like my friend's little brother's house.
Yeah.
And we're all talking about, like, fucking deep, meaningful things on, like, Earth and space. And they're like college kids, but we, like, came to their level, and we were just talking like fucking stoners who were learning a lot, you know,
right?
Just, like, questioning things, and we're like, oh, do you guys think the moon landing was real? And, like, you said some stuff, and then I gave some stuff, and then we asked Dave, like, Dave, what do you think the moon landing is real? He's like, well, I'm not sure the moon's real.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair assessment of a celestial object that doesn't rotate around the Earth.
So do you actually think that, or are you just trying to be silly at the time?
Let's go with silly.
But there is a part of you that wouldn't be 100% surprised if the moon wasn't real.
You know, you can't really know anything. That's sort of what I think about stuff. Like, who knows?
So that's where we differ. I think there are plenty of people who are smarter than us, or smarter than us three, I should say, that know a lot, especially the fact that the moon is real. Would you call them liars?
Well, it depends how you define real.
Okay. Right?
I mean, would you be willing to talk about your near-death experience?
Oh, boy.
Keep in mind, only 70,000 people will listen to this in the next
70.
3 weeks.
Nice.
But, I mean, you're not in any fault in this story.
No, I'm not. Yeah, sure. Why not?
So what was your near-death experience?
Have you heard this story?
I think I've heard it, but maybe not from Dave exactly.
All right. I guess like a month into college. JMU, what up? JMU.
Thanks. This is a real quick anecdote about JMU. Jeff and Dave went to the same school. For anybody they probably know anyone listening by now, but Jeff and Dave are identical twins.
Yep.
And they lived in different dorms and they didn't hang out during their freshman year of college. And they would see each other on campus and not even acknowledge one another.
I didn't even know that.
And at some points, like, since back then, they, you know, they had similar haircuts.
They basically looked the same.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the difference of them sometimes. So people would see Jeff out and they'd be like, hey, Dave. And Jeff would just be like, hey. They just assumed each other's identities and but never hung out together.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, we would see movies on Sundays.
Yeah, 1.5 speed.
Yeah.
We saw twins in 91 minutes.
All right, so you're a freshman year at JMU.
Yeah, freshman year at JMU. I was at a party.
Tight.
It's whatever. It's a dope party. Ended up, like, pledging this fraternity, and...
You joined a frat.
I joined a frat, but this was, like, before I was in the frat. This was, like, when I wanted people in the frat to think I was cool.
Right.
By the way, don't call your fraternity a frat.
You just called it a frat twice.
You wouldn't call your country a cunt.
You did that before the podcast started.
You said,
welcome to this cunt. I love living in this cunt. You kept on calling it a cunt.
Lambda,
you
went out of your chi, way to do alpha. It. Lambda, chi, alpha.
All right, get to the fucking near-death experience.
So I ended up going home with this girl who was like a senior.
Very nice.
To impress my friends.
Was she an 8, a 9? What would you rank her, dude?
Solid 3.
Very tight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chick from West Virginia. They got tails. Half of them do, at least. And then I got back to her place 2 hours later after I like didn't know how to have sex with her because I was like, oh, I assume like a senior in college would like be the one to like make all the moves, and I kind of pussied out.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up tight having to walk back to campus because I was like nervous that she would like wake up in the morning and be like, oh, this dude's a freshman. I didn't know that. I'm going to have to like drive him back to his dorm.
Right.
And I didn't want to like be a part of that awkward drive. So I ended up walking back, which is like 4 miles maybe.
So this is what time in the...
This is like 3 or 4 in the morning.
So at 3 a.m. after hooking up with this girl.
Yeah, sort of hooking up.
You were sort of... So at 3 a.m. sort of hooking up with
this
girl. I
think it was one of those times where it's like a girl's wearing like spandex and I'm like, oh, can this be like... used as like a condom if I don't have one.
Okay, so 3 a.m. you've wet snuggled with this girl.
Wet snuggled.
And you're ashamed to sleep next to her because you're afraid she'll find out your real age. So you decide to walk 4 miles back to campus.
Yeah, so I got about like half a mile or a mile. And I ended up hitchhiking.
Thumbing a ride, as it were.
Indeed. We'll get to that part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then the guy in – so Harrisonburg, Virginia is actually like a pretty big – it's considered the meth capital of the East Coast because there's like a lot of meth labs in the hills of Shenandoah Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And I-81 crosses right through the college. So there's like a lot of weird truckers and meth heads and shit. And yeah, so this guy like tried to play with my balls and my dick and shit. And, you know, I jumped out of the car.
Uh-huh.
Got concussed.
Right.
Lost a sense of smell.
Uh-huh.
Half deaf in my right ear.
Okay.
Say,
lost my sense of humor.
Back
up a little bit.
you told us about the fraternity, about using spandex as a condom, and then you got to the trucker trying to touch your dick and balls, and you glossed right over it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, what doesn't he like? You know, I'm fucking wearing a nice hat, probably. Got so a dope 18-year-old body.
This dude tried to molest you. Would you say that's true?
But, yeah. It is. Yeah.
You think he was on meth at the time or some drug?
Well, he was like, yeah, he's addicted to drugs. He's a crazy person. You jumped out of the car.
I did jump out of the car.
How fast was the car going?
Like an average speed. I guess that's like 35.
Okay, so you jump out of the car. At that point, you're also going 35 miles per hour, if I remember physics. So you're flying across the ground at 35 miles per hour. You hit something?
Well, the idea in my head was like I would open the door and like do this like dope ass like tuck and roll.
Yeah, like stop, drop, and roll.
Right.
Then you get up, brush yourself off, and take a motorcycle back to the girl. And
yeah.
Fuck the shit out of her this time.
Yeah, she's like, holy shit, you're 18.
10 years right then.
But it kind of went down a little differently where it's like I imagine I opened the door and it probably – if you saw it happen, it probably looked like I just like fell out and just hit my head.
Oh, you hit your head on the ground outside.
And then I went unconscious.
Instantly. Do you remember or does your mind block out like the leaving of the car?
It remembers opening the door and then nothing else.
And then waking up in a hospital.
No, the hospital. I woke up in the street with a flashlight in my face because I think like two girls found me laying in the street and called the ambulance.
Wow.
And then like I remember screaming.
Uh-huh.
Because like I guess whenever they find someone unconscious, they're like worried that their neck is broken. So
right.
They like strap them to some shit.
Yeah, the stretcher with a neck brace.
Yeah.
Do you know who those two girls are?
No, I don't.
Wow. So they just left you forever. You never saw them again.
They saved your life.
They did save my life.
And then what is this about a coma?
Oh, yeah. Well, I had to be in like a drug-induced coma for like 4 or 5 days for them to do surgery on my brain and shit.
Did the surgery go well?
Oh, it did not. Yeah. Shit.
No, yeah, I became fluent in 7 languages. It's true. How dare you? It's true.
You think they just they reprogrammed your brain and added functionality to it?
It's possible. If you watch the proper TED Talks, you'll gain a little bit of understanding of nanotechnology.
So how do you think that's changed you going forward?
A week, a month, a year later? So I could fucking eat pussy for days.
You couldn't do that before?
No, I was only eating asshole before that.
But the smell, you assume it would be worse.
No, I only eat asshole of vegetarians. It's a pure, organic taste to it.
You only eat asshole, but you just said now you can eat pussy for days.
Well, I eat pussy and then I go to the asshole. The asshole's now my dessert.
You said right. You only eat asshole because
enough with this line of questioning.
They both become one entity when you lick as long and as hard as I do.
And is there anything else other than
no, I want to keep on exploring this avenue.
Please do. 21 questions. There's no smell I don't like.
Do you think you've gone down on more girls' buttholes than you have their vaginas?
It's sort of like a dual entity in that regard.
Meaning what?
I don't swipe left or swipe right Tinder style. I swipe up and then down.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
I create a shit trail from the asshole to the belly button.
All right. That's enough.
You wanted to do this. Let's do this.
You ever heard of a trail of tears? This is a trail of smears. Ever heard of Tobacco Road? This is Chocolate Road.
All right.
Is there anything else you want to delve into, or should we try to answer one more question before we have to go?
I guess we can answer one more.
Oh, man.
I mean, I could tell Dave stories all day.
Yeah, we need to have him back because it's a never-ending sea.
Right. I mean, we didn't even talk about the choke slam in Wisconsin.
You've talked about that before.
I've talked about it on the podcast.
I kind of lied a bit earlier. I've listened to every podcast.
All right. We need one more dude question, or dude name.
Marty Hart.
Marty Hart. Marty Hardy writes, "Hey dudes, I don't have a girlfriend. I think the reason is that I'm so damn serious. I don't laugh a lot, and although I sometimes can come up with funny jokes, I think it's not very often. And in a party, I only start to talk when it's about a serious issue, like politics, literature, etc. I don't think girls dislike me, but I feel like they cannot get close to me. I make them uncomfortable. What should I do? For you two, how much is being funny has helped you to get laid? Thanks, Marty Hart."
I'll take this one, I think.
Yeah.
It only seems fair.
Uh-huh. Do you consider yourself a funny person?
I used to a bit more. Then you sort of enter the work world and taxes and health insurance kind of gets to you and, you know.
How does your health insurance get to you? You work at a company that pays it for you.
You got that right, my friend. What up, collegehumor.com. Check it out.
Yeah, good sure.
Stuff. One word.
No, they know. They know who we are. They've probably heard of College Humor.
All right.
And what is a website with two words? That's not a thing.
Yeah, there could be.
You can't put a space.
Tell us about why you wanted to take this question.
What was the question again?
How do you be funny, and do you think funny helps you get laid?
Yeah, funny definitely helps you get laid. Although, I mean, there are unfunny girls. So
right.
There's definitely boring people that are with boring people.
Yeah. Isn't it weird to think, like, we only hang out with funny people? There's a whole pretty large section of the population that isn't funny.
Well,
and when
an
unfunny guy hangs out with an unfunny girl, they can go weeks without making jokes. Do you think that's true?
I think people always find a way to amuse themselves. So it's not necessarily our type of humor. We don't think they're funny, but they laugh.
But I think there are some people who are serious, like, yeah, I don't make jokes. I just don't make jokes. I just don't think I'd make jokes. I think that's possible.
Yeah, it breaks my heart.
But it is doable. And then those types of guys find those types of girls.
Right. It sounds like this guy doesn't want to laugh and make jokes. He wants to get pussy, which is...
Yeah. But it's tough. I don't know. I mean, there's so many factors to go into, quote unquote, getting laid. Being funny is just one of them. But if you're funny...
Well, how did you get laid, Dave? You make girls uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm ripped in all the right places.
What are the wrong places, actually?
Anus. A ribbed anus.
Do you consider your sense of humor a way to get girls, or is it more like the fact that you're 6'3", 190 pounds?
6'4", 250.
I just love your brain. Should I make a believable lie-up or just go for the gold? It's like 6'4", 250. Yes. No, not 250, you liar. You sack of shit.
Jeff adds an extra inch to his height every time he has to renew his driver's license.
So you started at what, Jeff?
6'1".
You said 6'1"?
And now we're up to 6'4".
So you think the next time you get your license, you're going to say 6'5"?
I missed one of the deadlines, so I'm going to go straight to 6'6".
Michael Jordan's height. Yeah, all right. So you're tall. You're attractive. You think you're also funny? You think that helps you get laid?
Yeah, I definitely. It's a bit, I don't know. I kind of have a problem now where I don't know if I mentioned it before, but that accident made me like half deaf.
Uh-huh.
And So it's really hard for me to hear what girls are even saying at bars or clubs. So I kind of have to do this thing now where I'm like having one-way conversations and trying to assume stuff they say. And it's sort of like a weird game where I'm having a conversation with someone not knowing what 50% of the conversation is. So for me, I have to like randomly come up with stuff that's somehow relevant to her expressions and not the words that she's saying. And so I feel like I'm forced to try and be creative when I talk to people just because I can't hear anything they're saying ever.
Interesting.
Yeah. And
so is that what you say, that was your, that's your game?
Recently, since I moved to New York, it has been.
How would you describe your game? Like, you see a girl that you're attracted to at a bar. I feel like we talk enough about how we get girls. I want to know, through your lens, you find someone that's attractive at a bar. What do?
Oh, boy. You know, I shed a couple clothes.
Yeah.
Do some push-ups in the bathroom.
Pop a shirt.
Come out. Straight uh-huh. beater.
Yeah.
Dave doesn't approach girls, I don't think. Do really? You?
I don't, actually. I don't that
Dave,
often.
It works really well for Dave because he's like statuesque and attractive and he's kind of brooding and intense when he goes somewhere.
Do you see a lot of girls giving you the eye?
Yeah, that's like, well, they don't give him the eye. Like, we'll go into a bar and like sloppily drunk girls will just come up to Dave.
That's
pretty awesome.
I mean, they're wasted. They just want to fucking make it. Like, there was that girl that came up to you and she's like, my friends bet me I had like that I had to kiss you, and you're like, okay, and you started making out with her. And meanwhile, there was a girl coming to the bar to meet you.
Yo, baby, I don't remember that ever happening. You know, my baby knows who this is. That should never happen. You know, I don't know if you listen to this podcast.
If she didn't find out, it wasn't him.
Didn't she find out? Didn't she come down and see you making out?
Where was this?
Probably the whiskey.
The whiskey, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was weird. Oh, that was interesting. Interesting night. Yeah, that is what happened. I always get in trouble for doing dumb stuff, so I stop doing dumb stuff.
Can you give us an example of a funny, dumb anecdote?
I always get in trouble for doing bad and wrong things.
With girls?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just like
what's the dumbest, wrongest thing that pops into your brain right now? You're out, you're meeting people, you're at a bar.
Even if it's like, it's never like with a girlfriend, but even if I like two girls, they'll always end up being at the spot that I am. And it's happened consistently my entire life.
So it's like, it's getting caught out. It's like
getting called out for something that I shouldn't even be called out for in the first spot. But I can never do anything like suave. I've never been the guy to be able to do that. Not because I'm not capable. Maybe I'm not capable.
You really hate to detract from yourself.
But
so what's the game? What's your game?
I don't know if I have a game.
You do, because you're a ladies' man of sorts. Jake's been out with you. He's seen it happen.
They've closes.
Yeah, playing the twin card is awfully great.
Really?
Check out, if I could plug my website real quick. I don't know if you did it last night, Jeff, but twincest.com.
What is that?
It's Jeff and I going at it 24/7. Ask the belly button.
Right.
Snares of tears.
Is twincest.com available, and do you at least own the URL?
We own twincest.gov.
So do you have any funny Dave lady stories? Like,
can I tell? I won't tell the specifics of one, but I do have one that I like a lot.
I mean, I'm not going to stop you. It's your podcast. It's your fucking podcast.
I'm going to tell it, and if you really hate it when I'm done, then
we can cut it out.
Yeah. So we were out. Me and Dave were out one night. It was like one of those Thursday nights, you know,
where
we
thirsty.
That manic Thursday, you know what I mean? Like, that's where we're just like, need it, you know? So we're out at our old corner, like around 11th and Berry.
We're
popping around to all the spots.
What up, Whiskey Brooklyn?
Yeah, we're at Whiskey, but there's nothing going on. We're like, all right, we gotta try to find girls. We might have even started the night at like White. So like we're like all about this corner.
Yeah.
So we go from the Wythe to Whiskey to Brooklyn Bowl to Kinfolk. And
you
like,
can only leave this one square block.
Yeah. But it's like 3 a.m. There's nothing happening at Brooklyn Bowl. So we go over to Kinfolk. I'm like trying to find a spot to put my jacket. Dave does the fastest lap. He comes out. His eyes are darting. He's not blinking. He's just like, no, go, go. He's like gesturing outside like there's a fire in the back. Like, we have to get out. And it's like, it was almost 4 a.m. at this point. We just needed to go to a bar where there was fucking girls. We just needed chicks. Yep. We walked down the block to like 6th Street. Went into
five whole blocks.
Cameo.
Yep.
We went in. Dave did a lap. Came back. Was like, no, we got to go. On the way to Cameo, we went to Roberta's, but it was closed. Then we went to Cameo. You're like, no, we got to go. We got to go. And at this point, I was like,
it's like 4 a.m.
I was like, it was 4. The bars, everything's closing. I'm like, I threw up my hands like, dude, I'm done. It's not going to happen. I'm going to go home.
Masturbate and eat a cheeseburger.
That's probably what I did. Dave, meanwhile, went to like a 24-hour bagel shop, found somebody at 5 a.m. and fucked her on his roof.
How? I want to know.
I don't know.
We're almost out of time. I want to know how you go from bagel shop to fucking on a roof.
Because he doesn't give up.
I bought her sandwich. That's what's up. Extra
mayo. Can you tell me? What happened? What did you do? How did you do that?
I mean, it's 4 in the morning. That's okay. How you do it.
So you go up to her and be like, hi, what's your name?
No,
I'm Dave.
I don't even say anything.
You don't have to. It's like you're there. I'm desperate. Are you desperate? Yes. I have a roof.
I tip my hat.
What?
That's all I do. I just tip my hat.
Yeah. It finally came out. It finally came out.
That's what the hat's for. I'll give you the real reason for the hat, actually. It just came to me. My brain's a little dysfunctional, but it came to me. Uh-huh. It's like when you're out, it, like, the hat adds like maybe like 4 or 5 different moves to like any sort of dance repertoire, you know?
It's an accessory. It's
like
a prop.
Yeah. So I guess I don't need to wear it during the day, but I get used to it because I wear it at night.
It's nice to have at night. It's a security blanket of sorts.
Yeah, it definitely is.
All right.
There you have it. The hat. It comes full circle. We started with the hat. We ended with the hat.
Dave, thank you so much.
We agree this was a failure.
I don't know.
That's what we say at Dave's funeral. Let's
not get dinner and redo this.
No.
And I want to hit over the hour mark.
We definitely want to have you back because there's a lot of more fertile ground to be. What do you do with fertile ground?
Sowed.
Yeah, there's a lot of more fertile ground to be sowed. But thanks for coming on and. At least getting this first one under your belt. The first one's always the hardest. This next time, you're going to be very comfortable, very casual. You're going to really, really unload some real deep, dark secrets.
I agree.
Yeah. The opening theme song, we're still accepting theme song submissions, was from a married couple, like we said before, from Steve and Malika Bush. And this last theme song was from somebody who, I forget, I think his name is something Sinclair. But his rap name is Mr. Sincredible, which is probably better than his real name anyway.
For sure.
Thanks again for listening, everybody. Keep those questions coming to ifireyoushow@gmail.com. Keep the theme songs coming to ifireyoushow.com. Dave, do you have anything you want to plug before we go?
Yep, twintest.org, just like I said.
twintest.org.
Yeah. Oh, God, I'm being called out on blast in the last moments of this podcast.
A brief.
If I were you. If I were you.
If I were you, I'd listen to Jake and Amir. To you everything seems hazy, but to them everything is clear. Yo, sit back and listen, enjoy the show. You got a problem? Just let them know. And they ain't satisfied just giving advice. They're gonna tear you down, they ain't gonna be nice. You thought you were cool? The answer is nope. But maybe you could learn to be more hashtag dope. And I'ma end it like this, cause every show has got some class. Some special guests can make this a three-way on your ass. So if you wanna know what's really going on, email ifireyoushow@gmail.com. Tota!